So we're going to talk about today the purification process of the Metzorah. There's not much else to talk about other than Metzorah, and Tesriah Metzorah. There's a little bit at the beginning of Tesriah. But we're going to read, and it seems, it's interesting, I think there are two steps. Hashem speaks to Moshe saying, So now, we're assuming he's pure now. He's no longer has Metzorah. He's been secluded for however long he's been secluded. And now he comes to the Kohen. V'yatza ha-Kohen ha-Mechutza ba'achana. So the Kohen goes outside the camp. And behold, he's healed from the tzaraz. V'tziva ha-Kohen v'lakachlu mitaher shtei tzibim chayos taros. So the Kohen commands and he takes two living pure birds. V'eitz erez, cedar wood, ishni talas. And like... I guess it's like a scarlet thread, vezov, and hyssop branch. And the Kohen makes a commandment, and he slaughters the one bird on earthenware over living water, over fresh water, water from a spring. He takes a living bird, and the cedar wood, and the scarlet thread, and the hyssop branch. V'tavala osam, and he dips them, v'esat zippor chaya, b'damat zippor hashchuta, in the blood of the slaughtered bird, amayim over the water. So you have all these ingredients that you're putting in this water. You got the blood, you got the cedar. It's like a witch's brew, you know. You got the cedar wood, you got the scarlet thread, you got the hyssop branch, and you have the blood. Okay? And Vihiza al mitaher min hatzaras sheva pamim v'tiaro v'shilach zippor chaya p'nei hasadeh. Okay? So you sprinkle on the person who got purified from the tzaras seven times, and he's purified. And you send the living bird to the field. V'chibes v'taheres b'gadav, he washes the person washes his clothing. Vigilach is called Saro, he shaves off all his hair. Virachat Bamayim, then he goes to the mikvah, the Tahir, and he's pure. Is that it? No. Vachi Vola Machana, now come back to the camp. Vyasha Michutz La'olo Shiva Shavim. So what happens now? He did this whole procedure. He's pure. So what's
7 days?
He's gonna wait another 7 days before he goes back in.
He's sitting in
lower
front of
level
his
isolation.
Tent.
What?
Lower level isolation.
Well, lower level isolation. In other words, he's back where? Yeah. He's back in the community, he's not in the tent.
To make sure it doesn't come back.
Make sure it doesn't come back. No, it seems like he's pure. Is that what it is? Okay. Well, you're making, okay, maybe. But basically, there's like one step here, which is he has all these different sprinklings, all these different ingredients, sprinkles him, and he has to wait another 7 days.
When he says the gilach is called Sarah, is that just his head or his whole, all his body here?
I think his whole body.
It's like at the beginning of COVID, after you came out of isolation, right. You could go in public, but you had to wear a mask.
Okay.
So maybe you want to make sure he's completely healed.
Right.
I think it's something he should.
I mean, it's just interesting. He can walk around, but he has to stay outside his tent. Right.
Not to stay in an isolated area.
People should see him.
Yeah. What?
Not to frighten his wife with the shaved head.
Okay.
Okay.
People should see him. Okay, so let's see. If I have now on the seventh day, he got a call Saro. He's shaving his head again. His hair again. So, Esekado, Roshov, Esekado, Eskabos, Eidav. It's his head, his beard, eyelashes, with kol saro. So maybe the first one is maybe not everything, but I don't know. This is, he's specific here. He shaves all his head. V'chibes gadav, he washes his clothing. V'rachas b'sura b'mayim, and he goes to mikvah again. V'tahar, and he's pure. There's a double purification here. There's purification number one. He's healed from tzaras. He has the purification process. 7 days. And now he goes to another process, goes to cut shaving off everything, and going to the mikvah washing his clothing. On the eighth day, Yikach Shnei Kvasim Tumim, he takes two sheep, Bechavsa Chas, and another sheep, Tumimah, Ushlosh Yasranim, Solos, some flour, as a minchab, Lo V'Shemen, V'Lo G'chab V'Shemen, and some oil. V'Amir HaKohen HaMetaher, as Harisha Metaher, V'Osam, Livnei Hashem, Pesach HaMoed, and the Kohen places the person and before the Mishkan, right? He can't go into the Mishkan yet because he's not fully pure, but by the opening. So then he offers one of the sheep as a guilt offering, as an Hashem. Esloga Shemen takes the oil, the nifal, some tunif from the Hashem. He does the whole waving ceremony. And he slaughters the sheep in the same place that he slaughters the other sheep for the sin offering and the burnt offering. Okay, because the Hashem is like the Chatas. And then the Kohen takes them from the blood of the Hashem. He places it on where? Where does he place it? On the, where does he place the blood? The right earlobe. And on the right big toe. I'm sorry, the right thumb. And the right toe. I'll have my reading glasses. And the Kohen takes from the oil and he puts it on his palm. The Val Kohen says, Bo Hayamanit, Min Hashem Asher Al Kapo Hasmalit, Viza Min Hashem Betzbo Shem Putif Ne Hashem. And he sprinkles from the oil. Okay, umiyaser Hashem and Asher al kapo yitena koin al tenuch ozed hamater hayamid vabon yudam manit vabon velav hayamanit adam hashab. So then he puts the oil on the right earlobe, the right thumb, and the right big toe. Anosu b'shemen al kaf hakoin yitena roshem mitaher v'chibar lav koin lefin Hashem. Then he puts the rest of the oil on his head. So he does the asham. He does his whole ritual: the earlobe, the toe, and the thumb, and then he does the chatas and the asham, and then v'hela akoin is olav as a mincha bismicha v'chiper olav akoin v'ter. Okay, so we have these two processes. The first is the sprinkling of the water with all these ingredients. And the second is this asham with these other sacrifices and the the blood and then the oil and the earlobe. What do you think the goal of each stage is? Like, what's the goal of stage one? What's the goal of stage two? Like, why do we have two purification processes? It's very unusual. Usually when someone's tummy, there's one step. There's like...
There's no three.
Right, okay, that's fair. I meant like you have like two different days, they're 7 days apart, they're part of the process. That's very unusual. But you're right, there are different parts in each purification process, but in each day. But this is very unusual. Usually every other time you're tame, you have like... You do a whole bunch of things, you know. You go to the mikvah, maybe you wash the clothing, you bring sacrifices. This, you have two separate stages.
Well, the procedure's not so foreign. I mean, the procedure, the actual mechanics of the procedure are very foreign, but in terms of separation, bringing kavanos, I mean, wasn't that the way Aaron was anointed Kohen Gadol? I mean, he was separated, he brought kavanos, he was separated for 7 days. And he was brought in some more kavanos, and he was anointed. It's pretty much.
Well, no, but I guess you have. So we're going to see that there is some connection there to Aaron, the putting on the lobe and the earlobe. That's reserved for the Kohen. We'll get back to that at the end. But generally speaking, there's one process. There wasn't like two. Maybe you talk about when the Mishkan was dedicated. You had 7 days of initiation where Moshe's doing like a dress rehearsal, and the eighth day, okay, so then they proceed, then they all that they're all anointing everyone. That's the real thing. But that's all. 7 days, we'd like sort of a dress rehearsal. Here, it's like you reach stage purity one. 7 days later, you reach stage purity two. So we're trying to like unpack what these different things are. So first, if you look at Rashi, what's stage one? So Rashi says, he says, taharos, the birds have to be pure. Pradla of tama, it can't be an impure bird. Lefishan agayim boim a lashon hara, because these plagues of taras come because of lashon hara. Shumase pitpute dvarim. Because this is, what's pitpute dvarim? Like little words, like chattering. Efecha huskuku letaras tziporim shemepat pepim chirping tamid betips of kol. So the birds signify the sin of lashon hara, of just chirping. So you bring the birds. That Rashi saying, what's eitz erez? Levisha negayim bar malgasus aruach, because the cedar tree is the tallest tree. So that symbolizes arrogance. Vishnei tolas vezov. Mata karatov yitrape yashpil atzmo megavato kitolat ve'ezov. So I guess the thread is like the lowest, and the ezov, the hyssop branch, is also something very low. So the goal of step one is to deal with the sins. It's the sin of lashon hara, the sin of arrogance. So these ingredients sort of deal with these issues. And the Sefer Achinuch says something very similar. Look at the Sefer Achinuch. There's a little bit of hint in the purification of the mitzvah. Bidvarim elu. Bidvarim elu. Hodiyanu chachamim. Our rabbis informed us. Outside of pshat. So if you read the pshat of psukim, our rabbis are telling us what this is all about. Shomu zichron livracha. She'inyan hu likvo benafshel mitzvah. Shim hoya terem ba'alav choli gval lev kamo erez al derech mashal shulan gavoa. Yespil atzmo kezov. So saying, we're trying to cover our basis. So these plagues usually come from lashon hara or arrogance. So if it came as a result of arrogance, you know, sometimes people wonder why this happened to me. Why were there wildfires on Yom HaTzimut? Right? Everyone thinking of the spiritual reason for this. Right? Well, so you do. You find that sin that you want to tell people they shouldn't be nervous about. You pick that. Right? But he's saying. So why to get Taras? Okay, so Rashi's saying, so we're trying to check the boxes. So it could be because of arrogance. So we have certain ingredients that are dealing with of the treatment deal with arrogance. Right? You should lower yourself like a hyssop. Vamar Batam Tziparim, who also might say patit lomashe here but dvarim b'lashon hara. But maybe if birds, because very often Taras comes because of lashon hara. V'ich Yaakov tziparim sheheim mitzafzim tami. She brings birds because they're always chirping. Uvishni hatolas, the scarlet thread. Eyodeh, I'm not sure why he brings the scarlet thread. V'nizkar sham v'zichron livracha, all of davar. They mentioned something about it. V'evshar gam hu shu remes yash belatzom yeh remes mitzach hashem shel tolas. See, tolat shani means scarlet thread. But you know what tolat also means?
Worm.
Like a worm. So that's a lowly thing. That's what you think. Maybe that's what it means. So it's interesting. It's like what the Sefer Achinuch is almost saying is like you might bring something that has nothing to do with your sin, right? He's saying that you might bring the birds, but you were arrogant. But I guess these were the two most common reasons for tzaras. So you cover yourself by part of the ritual involves both of these elements. And maybe they're related. Maybe you could say lashon hara is related to people who are arrogant. They think they're better than other people, so they speak bad about other people. Maybe they're related. Not sure. And then he says, "V'tam ha'mayim shi'taru kol tameh." So what's the water? What's the water? Echshov al tzad apshat ke'inyan hu shi k'dei shi'ira adam etzatzmo achar hatvila kilu nivra ba'osa shah. What does that mean?
Rebirth.
Right, mikvah is always a rebirth. That the world was just water before man was created. The Spirit of God was flowing on the water. Just like he was renewed in his body, he's renewing his deeds for good. V'yachshir ma'asav, he will make his deeds better. V'yidakim b'darchei Hashem, and he will be more careful in the ways of Hashem. Now, when the minhag is to go to the mikvah? When? Erev Yom Kippur. I mean, some people do it Erev Shabbos, Erev Yom Tov. But the prevalent minhag is Yom Kippur. Why? Why Yom Kippur? Because it's the goal. But based on this, it's the idea that we're doing behavior saying I want to be reborn, and I want to change my ways, right? So that's this idea of the Sefer Chiddush. So he accounts for, you see yourself like a new person. So this is the first stage. Is spiritual preparation. Okay? Rav Hirsch has a beautiful take on this, though.
There's one thing that nobody addresses.
Yeah.
Second birth.
What?
What about the second birth, the first time?
The what?
The birth of self alive, it's about the field.
There's
two births.
The two births. Oh, okay, good. Oh. So we'll get the, maybe Rav Hirsch talks about this a little bit.
Maybe that's like the Lashon Hara that's spreading, like the birth.
Right, so one of them you slaughter, and one of them you send away.
After you get it for dirty
blood,
yeah. Yeah. Right. So there is some connection with the Tzir
Lazazel.
There's a whole share on that. This is connected to the Tzir Lazazel potentially. But let's see, Rav Hirsch. Rav Hirsch is going to deal with this actually. So first is the following. So Ninaseh Lahavim et Hamasim Mitavim Kam Pesukim Bet Techet. Well, I want to understand the actions that are described in Pesukim Beis Techet. The goal is they removed the mitzora from his isolation in the days of isolation, and also leshutvus hachevratit, and they return him to social, to partnership with other people. He turns back to society. It's clear. He says the idea in this first step, it's all about bringing the person back into society. That's the goal. Kiraka shutafut achevratit hutra loata. Right now, the only thing that's permitted is you can go back to society. Hu horsha levol lemachna Yisrael. He's allowed to return to the Jewish camp. Ach bimei sifro odeno asur mikdash v'kadashav. He cannot go into the mikdash after this. He's not fully done yet. He can just go back into society. He has to do other actions. He has to do other things before he can do the mikdash. Now, it seems to be, right, if you think about it, mitzora is the only type of tuma where not only you tell me you can't go to the mikdash, it's the only thing, it's the only tuma that you have to leave society. So if that's the case, there are two steps, going back to society, and step two is coming back to the mikdash. Emor Miata, I would say from here, Hamasim Haturim Kama Pesukim Beis Techet Mevatim Rak Otam Amitut. That therefore, in stage one, this purification is only that truth, Hamilavot Et Shuvol Lechavra, bringing him back to society. Minkudat Mabat Zu Alein Lishkol Tavrim Hamasim Haturim. With this, from this perspective, now we need to understand away the deeds that are mentioned here. So let's try to compare what some of these, where do we find some of these actions in parallels to other situations? The two birds, same appearance, same heights, same value, they have to be bought together, taken together. Maskirot biyada, as Judah mentioned, shnei asurim shel yom kippurim, the two goats. Bimtzara v'gam biyom kippurim, harei echa mibalei chayim omed lishchita v'cher omed lishiluach. Both by the mitzora and on Yom Kippur, one of the animals is going to be slaughtered, and the other one is going to be sent away. Shehu nigud gamor lishchita, this is the exact contrast to shchita. El shishama shiluchu amidbara, there sent to the desert. V'lukan. Here we send the other bird to the field. The nature of birds is that birds do not accept No, not enough of that. Like leadership. Like a Maradasra. Like a leader. So, Makbil Le'amor B'Para Aduma Asher Lo Aleh Aleha Ol. The fact that the birds, they don't accept authority. It's like the Para Aduma, because you don't put a burden on the Para Aduma. You can't use it if there's a burden placed on it. V'Makbil Le'am Le'amor Be'Agla Rufa Asher Lo Avad Ba Asher Lo Mashcha Ba'ol. So both the Paraduma and the Englarufa, they you couldn't have worked it. So they're like free. They're wild. They don't accept authority. Hadam al maim chayim bikli cheres makbil afar al maim kodshim mechli cheres so sota. The blood on the spring water in the earthenware vessels parallel to the dirt and the water in the earthenware vessel the sota. Kinu makbil la efer b'maim chayim al keli she paraduma. It's also similar to the ashes and the spring water in the paraduma. Uvesofo shel devar, in the end of the matter, eitz ha'erez shintolas ve'zov nizkarim gam kam gam sefer para. So a lot of these ingredients are found by the paraduma. Now he wants to explain. Tzipori ha'dror miyatzkot ofi bilti chevrati. A wild bird essentially stands for an anti-social character. Shirein heim mekablot marot. They don't accept authority. Veim darot bebayit kivesadeh. If they're in the house, they treat a house like a field because they're just flying all over. They don't like say we're going to stay here. Tchunazu hu nigud gamur l'arachim hachevratiim. You can't. This stands in contrast to the to social values. Hamatnim et haknisa l'shutvut hachevratiim shaladam, where people, there's a social partnership between people. Himigalemet et nigud shibin chayat hasadeh levina adam shav beir. The wild animals in the field. And the man is in the city. So now, if I want to go back, if I have tzaras because I engage in antisocial behavior, and I want to return to society, so what do I have to do? I have to slaughter the bird. Have you omer alav neshabeda et habehemiot lati alav marot haratzon henoshi. So I think what he's saying is that. You have to slaughter the bird, right? And set you. In other words, I'm setting the bird away, and I'm slaughtering the bird. Well, I'm slaughtering a bird, and I am. I guess he's saying that the other bird that's going away, but I am slaughtering my animalistic side, and my animalistic side, which led to an antisocial behavior. And I need to follow. So I'm agreeing to follow certain societal rules. Eitz erev ve'zov, hagavoh v'anamuch shebolam atzomeach, the tallest and the smallest of the plant world. Miyatim klal chayat zomeach. It stands for the plant life. Chut hashani mechaber. Chut hashani mechaber et shloshem la'achdut achat. So the thread joins them together. V'hem miyatim klal chayim ha. Organiyim shebesadeh et achayev atzomeach sheba. So all these ingredients in this little brew here refer to the plant kingdom and the bird in the field, meaning this is how I was. Ulam sheb. So in other words, the person is acknowledging I used to be like this bird in the field. I was uncontrollable. I said what I wanted. I was antisocial in my behavior. And I was also like these plant life. I was like wild. I did not behave like a human being. Like someone who's babayas. Ulam sheva malos, the seven sprinklings. Mavdilot bena behemiot mishulechat haresem levena chirut hamusarit. That separates. I do this seven times to transition from the animalistic side to freedom, ethical freedom, moral freedom. And this is the meaning of the seven sprinklings. It's on the person to rise with this level. And to change his, and to effectuate change seven times. Seven is usually like a unit, a cycle. It's like you have seven, so now you can change to a different situation. So we have all these ingredients. I was like this wild bird that sent away, this bird that's al pnei ha'sadeh. I was like the plant life. And now through the sprinkling, through slaughtering, through subduing my animalistic side, I am subduing that. And through the seven sprinklings, what am I doing? I am transitioning myself back from the world of the uncontrolled animal, plant, the sadeh, to someone who is ready for society. So that is that's the goal. The goal is to bring it back to society, okay? But still, he still says, after he's back in society, he still has to be outside his tent, and he can't go to the mikdash. So Rashi and other mafarshim say he can't be intimate with his wife. Again, maybe kachim, the holiest. He's still not there yet. He can't go into the mikdash, and he can't do the ultimate level of kedusha between husband and wife is intimacy. And then, so what do you need to do for stage two? You need to bring an asham, right? You need to bring an asham, and you need to do this, the lobe, the earlobe, the thumb, the big toe. So what's this all about? So the Ramban, in his introduction, his discussion of the Korban Asham, in Parshas Vayikra, he says the following, Vanira Beinai, it seems to me, Kisham Asham Mora al Devar Gadol, the asham, it teaches us about something really great, really, really important. Asher ha'osa yitchayev liot shamein va'avad va'abed bo. Asham means, if you do this, you should be shamein. What's shamein? Utterly what? Destroyed. Utterly destroyed. Milashon hashimeim elokim. V'yashimu nod midbar. V'chein, he gives a bunch of psukim. V'chatat morel devar. Okay, so that's what he wants to say. And then he goes on to say, Ve'in ha'metzora, the next bavur shametzora chashuv kameis. The metzora is like a dead person. V'inei kavar shameim va'aved. It's like he is desolate and destroyed. Right? What does it mean? He's like dead. Like his limbs are right there. He could be. I mean, he can't function. But it's more than that. He's someone who is ready to be destroyed. Therefore, his first korban is an asham. She'agin alav mina ashma shehu shameim ba. By engaging in sinful behavior that led him to be a mitzora, he is destroying himself. He is mamish destroying himself. And so now, yes, he can go back to society, but there's something still intrinsic in him which he needs to undo. And that is to bring the Korban Asham to bring him back from the state of Shemama. And then he does your regular chatas. Your regular sin, you bring a chatas. Your regular sin, you bring a chatas, maybe bring an ola to get close to Hashem. But when you do something that sort of is so destructive, says the Ramban. So then you bring a Korban Asham. And then as Aaron, as you mentioned, says that the, where else do we find this, the earlobe, baby toe, thumb ritual, in Shmos Chav Tes Chav. V'shchatas ayel v'kachli medov v'asat al tenuch ozen aron v'al tenuch ozen bana v'ayamnit v'abon yonrab ha'yamanit v'abon raglum ha'yamit v'raktas dam al mizbech saviv. Part of the sanctification process of Aaron and his children involved this, the earlobe, the thumb, the big toe. It's similar. It's only time, by the way, it's only time in Tanakh that you'll find this, pouring of the tenuch, ozen, tenuch, bon, tenuch. Only time. The mitzora and Aaron and his children. I think the goal of the miluim is to sanctify the Kohanim. You have ordinary people can become eligible for a role as ministers of the Mishkan. But obviously that's not the case here. So regarding other, I'll finish with this, regarding other types of tumah, the tumah is not the person himself. When it comes to other types of tumah, it's maybe, someone has a certain seminal emission or blood comes from a woman, or someone comes in contact with the corpse. It's something that comes from the person. It's something external from the person. It's not part of the person's body himself. Tzara'as, the tumah is inherent. It's part of you. The whole body itself is tumah. You're considered like a dead person, right? You don't say that someone who is other types of tumah, you don't say the person's like a dead person. All the other types of tumah, because they touched something or something came from them. But here the body itself is tumah. Therefore, the change of status is insufficient. Yeah, you went to the mikvah, I'm a different person, but you really need a new identity. So you need a radical change, just like the Kohen ready to serve a Kadosh Baruch Hu. There needs to be a radical change. In other words, how you are after your Mitzora, even after you do the first step of the purification, you need to go from there to going into the Mikdash like the Kohen, because what you experience has radically changed you. And maybe the message is that if we think about the two sins that we identified that lead to that are primary causes of tzaras, which is lashon hara and arrogance. Again, sometimes we commit sins and sometimes we do things that are so destructive to our behavior. And I think maybe the message of the Torah, even though we don't have tzaras nowadays, is that we have to be very careful, because these two types of sins, they're not simply sins, but they could unfortunately adulterate, they could pervert our very essence, our very behavior, our very character. They could destroy our character, because it will take a Herculean effort to transform ourselves if we fall prey to these two destructive behaviors. It takes a double purification. One is your regular, purity. You're out for 7 days, we do this whole thing, and we remind you of your sin. But you need a second stage, because these are, I think, very important middos that unfortunately, if we fall prey to them, we really have to go very far to return to our status. And it highlights how these are very critical middos that we should care about. Okay.